Madeline Blaze has read a lot of memoirs. She teaches a course about them at the University of Massachusetts. Now she has written one about her own family. Its title, Uphill Walkers, comes from her childhood in Granby, Massachusetts.
We lived in the center of town and walked two or three blocks to our elementary school. It was not always in the snow when we were not barefoot. At the end of the day, the children who lived within walking distance were divided into the uphill patrol and the downhill patrol, and my siblings and I were the uphill walkers.
Madeline Blaze says that life for her family did not start out as an uphill walk, at least not until her father's death in 1952. He was a dentist with a thriving small-town practice.
My father died. My mother had five children, ages 8, 5, myself, 3, 2, 1, and she was pregnant. So she was left with this rather large brood of children and dwindling resources in this rather beautiful colonial house in a very rural town in New England, and it was the early 50s. So she was faced with trying to figure out how to keep the family together and proceed forward with life when she'd had this blow that could have been completely crippling.
And she did figure it out.
I think to a large degree she did. One of the ways in which my mother coped that I admire her for is that to some degree she went into a state of complete denial. And she tried to, as much as possible, keep our lives, at least in the particulars, to have us lead lives that were as close to the kind of lives she thought we would have had our father lived.
You write in the book about death's great contradiction, the profound presence of those who are forever absent. Did the death of your father shape your life, the life of your sisters, your brothers, certainly your mother?
I think that I was talking to a woman recently whose mother died when she was fairly young. And what I think happens in a childhood where there's the death of a parent is that overnight your childhood kind of flees. In some sense, you just you have a sense of the world as being a much more tender and treacherous place than you did before. And so I would say that it absolutely permeates your entire life.
And it seemed to help bind all of you together, though. The six of us as one, you wrote.
Part of what this book tries to do is show that in the case of my family, with this kind of grievous assault on the organism of the family because of the death of my father, The rest of the children and my mother kind of bonded in a fiercer way than we might have otherwise as we kind of made our way through the world. It's not a book about any one member of the family. It's really a book about the group dynamic. And the literary antecedent for it is a novel called Dinner at the Homesick Restaurant by Anne Tyler, which was always one of my favorite novels. And in that novel, no one person is the main character. It's the family that's the main character.
The six of us as one.
Yes.
And did that kind of binding together make your family better equipped to deal with your oldest brother, Raymond, when he began to have his nervous breakdown?
In the 70s, when Raymond first was hospitalized, we just thought this was another one of his ways of not pulling his weight, so to speak. And it took a long time of discovery for each of us as individuals to come to the realization that this was not willfully, this was not behavior that was meant to be willful or meant to ruin or impede our lives or our progress, that this was something he was suffering from that was very real. And as time went on, we all worked together to figure out ways in which we could help make his life more comfortable, have less suffering in it.
And as the oldest girl, did you feel a special burden not only related to Raymond, but in the overall role that you had in the family?
A lot of my friends are oldest sisters. I think it's because we get along. We all boss each other to an equal degree. But what I found was my family was Irish-American. My mother is 100% Irish-American. And that in traditional Irish culture, the oldest son inherits the land. And in my opinion, the oldest girl, the oldest daughter, inherits the people. And so I felt as the oldest that I had quite a bit of responsibility towards everyone in the family all of my life.
Your husband says to you that he's not sure if you come from the most normal eccentric family or the most eccentric normal family. Which one is it?
I would say that it's really both. everyone in the family is sort of quirky and original in their outlook. And yet, most of us also have these underpinnings where we have good jobs with decent retirement and benefits and such. So I guess we go both ways.
When I finished the book, I felt there was something missing. And I kept asking myself, what was missing? And I finally realized that when you pick up a family memoir, I think the expectation is that you will read a book about knots and angst and witch-like mothers and all of that. This book was very different. It was ultimately very loving and very generous.
Well, thank you. I think somebody once said about memoir, it was a critic named Laurie Stone writing for the Village Voice, that a good memoir is post-therapy. In other words, that in her opinion, she's a critic, that a memoir isn't really about getting even, though people may think that that's what it's about. It's not really about revenge. A memoir is sort of after everything's happened and after you've gone through the sweep of feelings that are generated by those events, what's left? And that's what I hope this book is, what's left after all of that.
Madeline Blaise is the author of Uphill Walkers, Memoir of a Family.